Take your Bibles, please, if you would, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And as you're turning there, this is our, as I mentioned this morning, this is our last Sunday of December, our last Sunday of the year. And on our, for Sunday evenings, we've kind of paused in our series in 1 Corinthians. And next week, even, we'll look at our vision theme, acceptable unto God. But tonight, I want us to kind of step into a story from the Old Testament that speaks directly to where we are at right now, standing at the edge of a new year, looking forward with maybe anticipation, maybe with some hesitancy and uncertainty. And so I want to look at Joshua chapter 3 and verse 7. If you would stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this. Actually, we'll back up a little bit. Verse 2, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, where we are at in the story of Israel's history is Moses has died. Joshua 1 is that famous passage of scripture where God told Joshua, don't be afraid, I am with you, I'll go before you, I'll go with you, and fear not, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success, and there I'm going to be getting to Jericho at some point, but right here, they still have the Jordan River in front of them. And it's overflowing its banks. And they're going to the promised land, and they're finally going to be there after all these years. But there's this obstacle in front of them, and that's the Jordan River. In verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. We'll talk about what that represents here in a little bit. And pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters, this is important, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan, can we implement the word then? That then, I'm not trying to change scripture, but that's the idea here, that's implied, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. What a story. No, this is awesome. And I think there's some lessons we can learn. Title of the message is Step Forward in Faith. So let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need your help tonight, and I pray you'd help us to receive from your word you have for us. Help me, help my voice, Lord, help us to pay attention and listen, and God, that you'd be pleased in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So I mentioned a minute ago before we stood to read how we're standing at the edge of a new year, looking forward to this new year. And some of you aren't looking forward to it at all, probably. And some of you are dreading it. And maybe you're kind of like me. Hopefully you're not like me in this way. But I get a little bit perturbed about cliches and just, you know, it's kind of what I'm doing in a sense is repeating this, you know, yearly annual charge. Hey, we got a new year coming, but I also see that is biblical. It's biblical to do that, and we actually have something here in this text where we didn't read it yet, but we will in chapter 4, where you do see something about reminders that we need to have in our lives. And even so, Israel here once stood at the edge of the Jordan River. Behind them was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Before them was the promised land that God had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And between them and that promise was a river at flood stage. The Jordan was overflowing its banks, impossible to cross by human strength. Yet God was calling his people to move forward. God was calling them to step forward in faith. And Joshua told the people in Joshua 3, verse 5, sanctify yourselves. You see that? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And that's the heartbeat of this passage. God was about to do something miraculous, but the people had to prepare themselves and they had to trust God's presence. They had to step forward in faith. This story is true, by the way. This happened, right? We're not just talking about some story that's neat to hear. This happened, but it's more than history. It's also a picture of the Christian life. We all stand at the edge of so-called rivers in our lives from time to time that seem too wide, too deep, too strong. We face challenges, we face uncertainties, we face difficulties and insurmountable opposition and transitions. But just as God led Israel across the Jordan River, I believe that God can lead me across the so-called rivers of my life and the situations, the obstacles that I'm going to face. And I know that each one of us face those obstacles from time to time. I don't know what obstacle you're facing right now, but I have no doubt that you're facing an obstacle. And we've got to learn from Scripture and from past experiences in our lives as well that God can do the impossible. So I want to see tonight what moving forward requires. That's really what we're going to be talking about. How did they move forward and what was required for them to do so? And so as we step into a new year, I think the truths here can help us and remind us that the God who brought them through the Jordan is the same God who will bring us through. I don't want to be one who reads Scripture and goes, wow, that's awesome, but I don't get to experience God working in my life. Right? I want what happens there to happen to me, don't you? And I want the power of God and in the Word of God to be, I want to experience that power in my life. And He's in my life. I'm saved, and I'm thankful for that, but I want to experience that as well. So what's required? First of all, moving forward requires faith. It requires faith. Look at verse 7 again. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Moses is dead. Joshua is the new leader. One of the things he's doing is he's establishing Joshua as a leader amongst the people, this certainly would help with that for sure. Verse 8, and thou shalt command the priest that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. I said moving forward requires faith. Here's why it required faith. Think about what many would have thought is ridiculous here. It's not. If God requires it, it's not ridiculous. But on the surface, it seems ridiculous. Right? Come on. Carry an ark, step into the water. I know y'all are thinking about the song now. Wade out a little bit deeper. But that's what was required. Joshua said to the children of Israel, verse 9, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. That's big right there. We should hear God's words. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you all the people. Verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon and heap. So he told them beforehand what was going to happen. There's been some pretty amazing things that have happened that they didn't know were going to happen. When Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and the Red Sea parted, no one knew the Red Sea was going to part, right? No one expected that, not even Moses. But here, God told Joshua what was going to happen, and Joshua told the people, when the priests put their feet in the water, the waters are going to stand up as in heap. The waters are going to stop. That's when people would have been likely to say, what? You're crazy, Joshua. What are you talking about? You know, Joshua, quit trying to be like Moses. Right? That happened with Moses. It's not going to happen with you. Who do you think you are? That would have been a good opportunity for them to doubt or to question or to not walk forward in faith. And yet Joshua did tell them these things, and that's the essence of faith. See, obedience comes before the outcome. God did not say, wait until the river dries up. He said, step in and then I'll act. Because moving forward requires faith. And faith steps before sight. Faith is not waiting until everything makes sense. Faith is trusting God enough to obey when the way looks impossible. The priests had to get their feet wet before the water stopped. Think about it. If they had waited for the river to part before stepping in, they would have missed the miracle. The people could have said, well, I mean, this kind of thing has kind of happened before. It's totally different. It was different. Somewhat the same, but different. But they could have said, well, yeah, this kind of thing has happened before. So let's see it happen, and then we'll cross. But no, they had to begin to cross, so to speak. They had to step in. They had to, the priests had to get their feet wet before the water stopped. That's what faith looks like. They would have missed the miracle if they had waited for the river to part before stepping in. God wanted them to trust his word enough to act before they saw the result. God wants you to trust his word enough to act before you see the result. And moving forward with God often means taking steps of obedience before we see how it's going to work out. Maybe God is calling you to witness to somebody, to serve in a new way, to give sacrificially, or to trust him in a trial. Faith means stepping forward even when you don't see the outcome yet. Faith steps before sight. Faith also trusts God's word. Joshua told the people exactly what God said. He didn't soften it. He didn't try to explain it. He didn't say, well, here's what God means, or let me put this in a way that's easier to swallow. He didn't adjust it. He didn't wait for a better time. He simply declared God's promise. And when the priests step in, the waters will stop. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is confidence in God's word. Romans 10, 17 says, so that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. The priests could step forward because they had God's word to stand on. You can step forward because you have God's word to stand on. Our faith today is built on the same foundation as theirs was, God's word. We have it right here. They had it through a messenger. Sometimes we get it through a messenger, but really ultimately we have it right here in our hands, in our laps right now. When he says he will never leave you nor forsake you, you can step forward. When God says all things work together for good, you can step forward. When he says he will supply all your need, you can step forward because faith trusts his word enough to obey it. So faith steps before sight. Faith trusts God's word. Faith honors God's power. And this is awesome right here. I love this. When the priest stepped in the water, what happened? The river stopped flowing. It's not that it dried up. It's not that there was a drought and it suddenly dried up. It's not that somebody built the Grand Coulee Dam there or something like that and stopped the waters. No, what you need to picture, when it says, verse 16 says, the water stood and rose up upon an heap. That phrase means the waters didn't just slow down. It means they piled up. Okay, so you got a river going downstream. The waters piled up or collected and rose like a wall upstream from them near the city of Adam. So picture the Grand Coulee Dam holding back water. Now remove the dam and the water still being held back. Only God can do that. That's amazing. And it wasn't that, okay, the waters are piled up in a heap now, and I'd be like, oh, look at that. That'd be awesome. Okay, that would be amazing. But then obviously there would be no water flowing anymore, but you still got mud. You still got slippery surfaces. You squish in it, and your shoes or sandals, whatever you wore back then, came off as you're trying to lift your foot back out of the mud. No. The ground was dry. Imagine a river suddenly halted, the flow cut off, the water gathering in one place. So he did build a dam with his hand, basically. That's what he did. And that's what Israel saw. It wasn't a natural occurrence, as some people would like to explain it away. The Jordan was at flood stage, verse 15 tells us. But God stopped the flow instantly. The heap was a visible miracle. Faith, when you step forward in faith, you're honoring God's power because your faith acts before the heap appears. Your faith is stepping forward before the heap happens. The priests didn't wait to see the water pile up. They stepped in first. Think of Josiah. He's really got to stop doing this because he's getting bigger. And one of these days, I'm going to step aside and let him see that his dad is not as strong as he thinks his dad is. But jumping into my arms, like constantly, like nonstop, like it's just like all day long, every day, and it hurts. I can't take it anymore. He doesn't wait to see if I will catch him. He jumps because he knows I'm going to catch him. One of these days, I'm going to stop. And they're like, ah! He's not going to have faith in his dad anymore. Which would be a good lesson for him, I think. No, I won't do that yet. But no, that leap of a child, think about it. Picture your situation, you with your kids or whatever. That leap of a child honors the father's ability. In the same way, when you step forward in obedience, we honor God's power to carry us. We're saying, God, I'm honoring you by my faith. I'm trusting you. Me stepping forward is me believing that you can. And so every act of obedience is that. When you pray, even though the answer hasn't come, you honor God's power. When you give, even though the resources are tight, you honor God's power. When you witness, even though you feel weak or inadequate, you honor God's power. Faith is not just believing in your heart. It is living in a way that shows God and shows the world, shows the others that you trust his strength. So when Israel saw the river heap up, they knew it wasn't the priest's feet that had power. It was God who held back the waters. And that leads to the next thing, because when we step forward in faith today, others see that same power at work in us. Imagine the people watching the priest step into the river, because that's the next thing. Faith inspires others. Your faith isn't going to inspire somebody else. Can you think of somebody who was a person of faith? Somebody in your life who affected you who was a person of faith? Thousands of Israelites stood on the banks waiting to see what would happen, and when the water stopped, their faith was strengthened. And when you obey God in difficult circumstances, other people see his power at work. Listen, parents, your children see it when you walk in faith. Church family, your brothers and sisters see it. Because faith is contagious. It is. It strengthens others. So the first truth is clear. Moving forward requires faith. The priest had to step in the water. But faith alone is not enough. We also need God's presence. Or should I say it this way? Faith alone is not enough. Why do we have faith? Why am I willing to practice faith? It's because we have God's presence. Josiah or any kid steps out in faith, leaps in faith because of the presence of dad who's going to catch them. And we leap out in faith or step out in faith because of the presence of God. If you're saved, say amen. You have the presence of God. Therefore, you can have faith. Because moving forward doesn't just require faith, it requires God's presence. Look at verse 14. Actually, let's look at verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Faith was essential, but Israel needed more than courage to step in the river. They needed the presence of God to go before them. That's why the priests carried the ark of the covenant into the Jordan. The ark wasn't just a religious symbol. It wasn't just a golden box. It represented the very presence of God among his people. That's what the ark represented. It represented God's presence in the time of Israel. And so the priests that bear the ark, verse 17, of the covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Notice the detail. The priests stood firm. The ark was in the middle, and the people passed by safely. The presence of God right there was their guarantee of their crossing. Moving forward requires God's presence, because God's presence is what leads the way. Why go if God's not going with us, right? Why move forward? Why make that decision if you're not sure it's God that's leading you to do so? The ark went first before the people moved, before the water stopped. The ark was carried into the river. The order mattered. God was showing Israel that his presence must always lead. Because moving forward without God's presence is dangerous. Right? You can plan, you can strategize, you can weigh the pros and cons, and you can try to push ahead, but if God's presence is not leading, it will fail. And the safest place to be is behind him. The safest place to be is to follow God's leading. And you think of a child learning to ride a bike, and you're running along. You know, the parent doesn't walk ahead; they run alongside. At least if you can keep up and do so, steadying the handlebars, holding the seat, whatever. I remember I was in my 20s when Chloe learned to ride, and when Autumn learned to ride, and I think when Levi, I guess the math works that yeah. I was about maybe almost 30 when Levi learned to ride his bike. And so, you know, I was still fit and in shape, and I could run alongside them and that kind of thing. Actually, they would out-pedal me, and I'd say bye-bye. But I would, you know, I'd do that over and over again until they learned how to ride. And then Josiah learned when I was in my 40s. And I couldn't keep up with him to save my life. It was like sucking wind. It wasn't running so well. But I'll never forget Levi. He didn't say a whole lot back then, right? But I would steady the bike, and I'd say, okay, on your marks. I'd be like, okay, on your marks, get set. What do you think he said? No. I set you up. Action. That's what he would say every time. Action. Remember that? On your marks, get set. Action. I remember the first time he did that, I laughed so hard. I almost dropped the bike. But action. So I'm like, all right, action, let's go. And as long as my hand was on the bike, or as long as he thought my hand was on the bike, then he was good to go. And he's pedaling hard. And the truth is, he was doing it without me and didn't realize it. And then once he realized, you look over, oh, dad's not there. It's like he quit and he just crashed like that. Like, I can't do this. I'm like, dude, you were doing it without me. And skinned up knees and elbows and all that kind of stuff. But as long as he thought that I was right there and my hand was on the bike, and same with all my kids. But if Levi especially saw that I wasn't there, it's like all ability was gone and he just dropped. Eventually, he figured it out, thankfully, and was able to ride without my help. Or he was riding without my help, but able to ride understanding that I wasn't helping. Took a long time for him to realize that. You know, for a moment, a child feels the strength of that guiding hand. And then when the parent lets go, at some point, the child realizes they're still upright because of what was already provided, the balance, the push. I remember Josiah saying, Dad, give me a push. So I'd give him a push. And there's a confidence that helps with that. In the same way, God's presence is not distant from you as you're pedaling along in your life, or his presence is not ahead in some unreachable place. God's right there with you, steadying you, giving you strength. And when he calls you to move forward, you can trust that his hand's already prepared the way. And the difference with God is this. God doesn't let go. Even when we feel like we're pedaling on our own, he's right there with us. And that's why moving forward requires God's presence, because God's presence leads the way. God's presence brings stability. Verse 17 says, the priest stood firm on dry ground. That's remarkable. I mean, the riverbed had been rushing with water. God stopped the flow. And the priests are standing there. I'm wondering what the priests were doing. Like they're holding the ark, and you know, you're not supposed to touch the ark, right? So they're making sure not to do that. And yet this raging water is just piling up higher and higher and higher, heaping up upstream from them. And I'd just be going, wow, you know, just imagine four of us here, me and Brother David and Carlos and Brother Joel. And we're holding the poles of the ark, and we're going, that is so, well, there's 12 of them. So there's 12 of these priests, but that is so cool. That is awesome. And then Brother Joel's like, yeah, look at that. I'm like, Joel, stand still. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to imagine the situation there and just putting myself in their shoes. It would have been an incredible thing. But here you are standing on dry ground. They didn't sink into the mud. They stood firm on dry ground. It says that on purpose for a reason. Stood firm. God's presence brings stability so you can stand firm in your life. What was once impossible becomes solid ground. When his presence is with you, you can stand firm in the middle of what used to overwhelm you. Because God's presence does lead the way and provides stability, but it provides safety as well. Look what it says there next. All the Israelites passed over on dry ground. You think of the scene, thousands of men, women, and children, animals, whatever, crossing where a raging river had been moments before. They weren't rushing in panic. They were walking safely because God's presence held the waters back. I would have been tempted to walk upstream and get a little bit closer look at this piling up heap of water. But they walked across on dry ground. It wasn't muddy. It wasn't slippery. It wasn't half safe. It was dry. Because God doesn't just make a way. He makes a safe way. His presence turned a riverbed into a roadway. His presence turned an obstacle into a path. His presence turned what was impossible into the way to go. And that's God's presence in our lives. Without Him, the river would have swept them away. With Him, they crossed unharmed on solid footing. And the same is true for us. His presence is our refuge. His presence is our shield. His presence is our strong tower. When He goes before us, He doesn't just hold back the flood. He gives us firm ground to walk on. God's presence is always with us, by the way, if you're saved. And the Jordan is a visible reminder of God's nearness. And today, we don't carry an ark that represents God's presence. No, you're saved. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Matthew 28:20 says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. His spirit dwells within you. His presence is not limited to a box of gold. His presence is living in your heart. Moving forward requires confidence that Christ is with you. When you face a trial, remember God's presence. When you step into obedience, remember God's presence, because that's what's required to step forward. But there's one other truth here. That I think is important for us to get. That's found in chapter 4. Moving forward requires remembrance. Joshua 4, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, right there where they were standing, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Take from there 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. This may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. I imagine I would have said it a little bit differently. I would have said, dude, you should have been there. It was awesome. Like, the waters were standing on top of itself. Like, it was cool. Really? Yeah. It was awesome. That's why these stones are here. That's me. Anyways, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So Israel didn't just cross the Jordan and move on. God commanded them to pause, to stop, to gather 12 stones from the riverbed, set them up as a memorial, because moving forward with God, it helps when we have remembrance. Moving forward with God requires remembrance. If we forget what God's done, we'll lose courage for what lies ahead. In verses 6 and 7, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The stones were not decoration, they were declaration. I don't know who said that, but I like it. They declared that God had acted, that he had stopped the river, that he had brought his people through. That's what they were declaring. That's what the stones meant. They were a testimony for future generations. It was something that you could look at and say, okay, something happened here. What happened here? And notice where they were placed. They weren't placed back in the river where no one could see them. The word wasn't used there, but in verse 20, it does tell us that they were placed, their first lodging place was at Gilgal, their first campsite in the Promised Land. Gilgal became the kind of the base of operations for Israel's early battles and a place of renewal for them. And every time the people returned to Gilgal, these stones stood as a reminder, God did this. God brought us through. So why are you spending time on that detail? Because details matter here. The stones were taken from the very spot where the priests had stood in the riverbed on dry ground. They were carried into the camp. They came from the place of the miracle itself. I mean, you go on vacation, you get souvenirs, right? Maybe you go on vacation without your kids, maybe you bring back souvenirs for them or something like that. These weren't just souvenirs. These were placed in Gilgal. They were something to remind them of where they were. And when the children asked, what mean ye by these stones? Parents would say, these came from the Jordan. This is where God performed a miracle. This is where the waters stacked on top of itself. And this is how God carried us through. And I'm just saying this evening, moving forward requires us to build memorials of remembrance. What has God done in your life? Do you have a memorial? Do you have a way to remember it? Not physical stones, spiritual markers, testimonies, right? Testimonies, maybe journals, prayers, songs. A song is a good memorial. Stories, things that remind us and our children of God's faithfulness. And just like Israel placed their stones where families lived and worshiped, we should place our memorials where they can be seen and remembered in our homes, in our churches, in our daily lives. And that way, when the next generation asks, what mean ye by these stones? We can tell them this is where God showed his power. This is where he carried us through. Why does that matter? Because we're forgetful people. That's why. I mean, Israel's, you follow their story, you find that they are forgetful people. They often forgot what God had done. They forgot the Red Sea. How can you forget that? They forgot the manna. They forgot God's deliverance. Because remembrance leads to faith. Forgetfulness leads to fear. Or why do you fear? Because you forget. But faith, you might have faith because you can remember. And when you face tomorrow's challenges, we need yesterday's reminders. You think of a photo album. Each picture tells a story. We were looking at photos the other day, just sitting there. You used to look at photos in photo albums, right? How many of you remember actual photo albums? Yeah, and you used to actually like flip through and, oh, look at this picture here or whatever. But we're looking at our cell phones, right? Our Facebook memories or whatever it is. And we're sharing pictures with each other, sharing things that we haven't seen forever. Oh, I forgot about that. That was a lot of fun. You know, when we did that the other day at Grandma's house and ended up putting up some reenactments of some pictures that the kids did that was posted on Facebook. But that was a lot of fun. And you're reminded of something that really you had forgotten. You look back, you remember moments you'd forgotten. In the same way, memorials remind you of God's work. They're spiritual photo albums that strengthen our faith. What are the stones in your life? Maybe it's a verse God gave you in a trial. Maybe it's an answered prayer you wrote down. Maybe it's a testimony you shared with your family. We need to take time for these, celebrate these milestones because they strengthen your faith in ways. I notice here, though, that Israel didn't build the memorial individually. They built it together. 12 men, one from each tribe, carried stones. It's a corporate act of remembrance. As a church here at Northwest Baptist Church, we need corporate memorials. We need to remember together what God has done, souls that are saved and lives that have been changed, and remember his faithfulness in worship and in testimonies and anniversaries and milestones. Because when we remember together, we strengthen one another in that way as well. Because the stones were not just about the past. The stones were about the future. They were meant to inspire faith for generations to come. When children asked, "What mean ye by these stones?" parents could tell the story of God's power. It requires courage. Look at verse 10 and we're done. "For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people." They stood there a long time. "According to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over." But that just means not one left. Everybody made it. "That the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." Don't pass over 13 too easily. "About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho." You think they were a little bit fired up for war now? A little bit motivated now? "The Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command..." And by the way, the generation that died in the wilderness before that, they could have experienced this. One of the reasons for not going into the promised land was fear. And yet, had they walked out in faith, they would have experienced God's miracle. And that would have motivated them to go forward in the battle. "And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before." They came down with a crash. I would have liked to have seen that too. "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." So crossing the Jordan was not the end of their journey. It was the beginning. On the other side lay Jericho. Battles. Daily responsibility of living in the land that God had given them. And so moving forward required one more thing. It required courage. It showed God's power, Jordan did, but it just meant they're stepping into new territory. Moving forward with God doesn't mean life gets easier. It means we face new challenges with his strength. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the obedience in the face of fear. So have courage to trust God's hand. Have courage to obey him. It inspires others, as we just read about. Courage to press on. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. That's the testimony of Jordan. So tonight we leave this year behind. We step into the next, and we should echo the words there. We should also echo the words that we looked at this morning, forgetting those sayings which are behind and reaching forth unto those sayings which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Would you turn to Philippians 1? Stand with me. We'll read this and be dismissed. Philippians 1, verse 6. God's brought you this far, hasn't he? Right? The God who brought you this far is not going to leave you now. He's carried you this far. He'll carry you forward. So Philippians 1:6, let's read it out loud. Ready to begin. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for this preservation of this story in the Word of God and how it's so helpful to us to understand that you are always at work and you have a plan and you're a God of miracles, but it's going to take faith to follow. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be just that and do that and to be a testimony to others, Lord. I pray you'd help us respond now during this time of invitation as you would have us to, in Jesus' name. Amen.